Well, you know, sometimes I hear the words of Scripture and they just sort of pop for me, they kind of sing. And when I was sitting this morning listening to that Revelation reading, one of those bits just kind of popped for me. God says, "Behold, I'm going to make all things new." Would you like things that are new? Is that fun? Yes? No? I need some response. Sometimes new things are great, aren't they? But sometimes, not so great,
challenging.
Difficult, challenging. Yeah, sometimes new things are, they can be both. They can be wonderful, and they can be downright, I don't want it. No, this is different. I got to sit in another place. I got to do another thing. I got to have another preacher here. You know, sometimes they can be challenging. It's a little bit of where I'd like to go today. I'd love chewing scriptures over with people. So I was delighted to have Sharon ask me to come and join you this morning to do that. And as I chewed over the scriptures, what I wanted to share with you is a little bit of that around the newness when something comes. And go to some of those defining moments in our life. You know those moments when something happens and something shifts inside you and things are different because of it? One of those moments in my life, and as I look around this crowd here, I think all of you will resonate with what happened that day. Remember September the 11th, 9/11 we call it? And you know where you were that day when you got the news, right? We all know, we all can go back to that day. Something, that was a particular day for me, and it was one of those defining moments in my life. I'll get back to that in a minute, so let's just park that one there for a moment. But that was, for me, for sure, watching those towers drop, a defining moment. Our scriptures give us a very clear defining moment for dear Peter. Peter, one of the disciples, now the Apostle Peter, and he describes, he's being criticized by some of the believers for going into a Gentile house. He's been criticized by them, and he tells them his story of one of his defining moments that changed everything for him. He was off there in Joppa, and he was praying, and he had this vision of this cloth coming down and all these animals in it, and he was a good Jew. Like, he had been trained in his Jewish ways. He had been taught what to eat and what not to eat, and he'd followed it. He'd been taught the social customs, who I'm to eat with and who I am not to eat with, you know. I'm not to eat Gentile. I'm not to eat with Gentiles. I'm not to go into Gentile houses. He knew that. And he knew the prescribed food that he was not to eat. He knew all the rules. He had them down cold. And then he's in praying one day, and this cloth comes down, and all these animals that he'd been told all his life were unclean and he wasn't to touch, he's now being told they're clean. And up from him comes a, "No, that's not how it is." And the voice says to him again, "It's all clean, Peter." And he says, "No." And he says, "Clean." Three times it happens. Everything shifts and changes for him. And then he gets told that he's to go to a Gentile house and be with the Gentile people there. Huge shift and change too. But he doesn't, and he goes. And then he gets into the Gentile house, and what happened is that he sees happening to the Gentiles exactly what happened to him and all of his buddies and all the women that were there on Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down on them. He watches the Holy Spirit come down on who? The Gentiles. You know, they had thought this Jesus was their Savior. And suddenly, kaboom happens, and this Jesus becomes the Christ. This Jesus that they thought was just for them, kaboom, he's Christ, and he's for the whole blinking world. Even those awful Gentiles that we're never going to talk to, he's for them too. He's for everyone. Wow. God's doing something new. What a shift, what a change for Peter and for that Jewish community. Just everything is different. Now, I'm not Peter, I'm not the Apostle Peter, but my defining moment over on 9/11 when I watched those towers drop again and again and again, I'm sure like me, many of you watched them drop many times. I was sitting on my couch at home, and I was watching them drop for about the 100th time and just in pain over it all. And suddenly what came up inside me was that, why are we killing each other? We're all human beings. We can't do this to each other. And something shifted inside me, and I moved a step closer to becoming a nonviolent person. I knew I had to discover a new way to live, one that was based in peace and based in nonviolence. Every human being is known by God, is created by God, is known by God, and is loved by God. And I'm to bring no harm to any human being. There was a shift that took place inside me that day, that I realized that we're all in this together. Doesn't matter our race, doesn't matter our creed, doesn't matter our demographic, doesn't matter our history. We're all in this together. We're all God's children here together. Then just so I don't get to wiggle at all, we get the gospel passage. And in the gospel passage, Jesus just takes away any wiggle room I might have on who I am to love. Now, I give you a secret of reading scripture. When you read the scriptures, like we get in the lectionaries, you're just getting a little snippet. To honestly read scripture with integrity, you need to read what went before it and what goes after it. You need to read context when you read scripture. So if you were to go home and get out your Bible and read this passage again, you'd read the context of it. Like, even the very first words of it lead us to do that. I think it says, "And when he had gone out." That's how the gospel started. Well, who on earth is he, and where is he going, and what's happened? Why is that phrase there at all? If you read the story, this little bit of us, that we're to love one another, is set in the midst of what we call the Last Supper, Jesus' last meal with his friends. Just before this passage, just before this love everybody passage, Jesus has been having dinner with them. There's a betrayal story is what there is. There's a betrayal story. Jesus is having dinner with them. He's washed their feet. He said to them, "One of you is going to betray me." And the disciples are going, "No, no, 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 no. Who can it be? Who can it be?" And he said, "It's the one I'll dip the bread. I'll dip bread and give it to the one who's going to betray me." He dips bread, he gives it to Judas, and he says to Judas, "Go, do what you have to be done." Judas takes that bread and goes. Then our passage says, after he had gone. So immediately before this command to us to love, Jesus has betrayal in his world. You read our passage, and then the next passage to come after it, just a few verses after it, Peter is saying, "I'll go anywhere with you, Jesus. I'll do anything. I'll give my life for you." And Jesus turns and looks at Peter, and he says, "Before the cock crows in the morning, you're going to deny me three times." Betrayal. Betrayal. So in between the story of Judas's betrayal and the story of dear Peter's betrayal, we have a sandwich, don't we? We have this little bit of love. Oh, I'm to love everybody. I'm to love the betrayers, right? In the midst of betrayal, Jesus is talking about love. So God brings this challenge to us, this invitation to us, that we are to love one another in the midst of the mess of life, in the midst of the hurt of life. We are to love. In the midst of the dirty feet and the disappointments of life, we are to love. Wow. Wow. Oh, no wiggle room. No wiggle room left for Anne. When I think on it, I'm not sure we've done a great job as Christians in listening to the voice of our shepherd. I know we've done some good things in the world. We brought hospitals in and we've cared for the poor, but we've also fought with each other an awful lot over the centuries. I don't think we've listened so well to our shepherd's voice. The Acts, as you continue on, the Acts is full of the fights start. Even Peter and Paul start to fight, and the Gentile and the Jewish Christians start to fight in there. The discord comes. By the fourth century, we're into creeds and canons, and they were sort of set out to say what was true and what wasn't true. Those that were in and those were out, the divisions became, In 1000 AD, we had the split between the Orthodox and the Catholic, and the Orthodox splintered into many different nationalities, and the Catholics had many different orders. And of course, 1500 came, and the split between the Catholics and the Protestants came, and then the Protestants just kept splitting off into hundreds of thousands of denominations, and everybody thinks they've got the monopoly on truth. And we've hurt each other over these doctrines. You know, we've done some awful things that just grieve my heart over the centuries in the name of Jesus. So institutionally, I wonder, you know, I don't think we've done so well listening to our shepherd. Maybe you've been part of a church sometime that really stressed doctrinal purity. Those who are in and those who are out. Or maybe it's been more subtle. Maybe it's been like sort of, we have the right liturgy, you know, we have the right way of doing things. We have the right way of reading scripture or not reading scripture. You know, we so easily can slip into the inners and the outers, the right way and the wrong way. Grieves my heart as we're there. So institutionally, I'm not sure we've done so well. But there's individually, too. Have we done so well as individuals? You know, how many of us have been in church communities where there have been conflicts, you know? How many of us have had fights with our brothers and sisters in Christ, you know? No, we have. It's about, have we resolved these conflicts or not? You know, are there people you're uncomfortable to have communion with around a railing? Are there people you don't want to chat with over coffee hour? You know, it comes close to home. God says that we are to love everyone. We're to love one another. And that's the way everybody out there is going to know that God is real, by the kind of relationships we have with each other. It's not that we're never going to have conflicts, it's how we resolve them and make them right. So I think like God gives us this big picture of God's love is for everyone in the world. But I don't think he gives impossible things to us. There must be ways for us to move in there. And I can feel the challenges within me to love everyone in the midst of the mess and the mire of life. So what I want to offer you today is one simple, practical way that I have found that has helped me take my steps moving in that direction of being less violent, more peaceful, more ready to forgive. It's a practical little thing, and I ask that we print out some copies, so you'll find some copies of a sheet like this that you can take. And, you know, in light that it's that God loves everyone, what I'm offering you comes from another tradition. It doesn't come from the Christian tradition. It comes from the Buddhist tradition. They call it a loving-kindness meditation or a loving-kindness prayer. But it's very much in line with Jesus. I feel very comfortable in it. I hope you will as well. And it's a prayer that you can use every day if you'd like, maybe at bedtime or maybe to start your day. Maybe you might want to pray it once a week as kind of a cleansing and a strengthening on. I find when I pray it, it softens my heart. It softens my heart towards individuals and towards all people everywhere. It has of layers of prayer. It begins with praying for myself, and then I pray for somebody who is really helpful to me in my life, who has helped Anne be Anne. And then I pray for somebody who I'm fond of in my life. And then now that I'm feeling all warm and really good, I bring in somebody I don't like so much, somebody I'm in conflict with, and I pray for somebody I'm in conflict with. And then I pray for somebody who is a stranger, just somebody who is peripheral to my life. And then I pray for all beings everywhere. And the prayer sounds something like this. The Buddhist tradition will give you like a set about four sentences that you can use. But very much we can play with these sentences, because what we want are words that soften our heart. The traditional words are, may I be filled with loving kindness. May I be safe from internal and external danger. May I be well in my body, in my mind, in my spirit. May I be at ease and happy. And I pray that several times for several minutes for myself. May I be filled with loving kindness. I often tweak it like, may I be filled with your joy. Because Jesus wants us filled with joy. It's one of his prayers for us. So often it's, may I be filled with your joy. May I be safe. May I be well. May I be happy. You can use whatever words you like. Make them words that soften your heart. And after you've prayed for yourself for a while, because you've got to start with yourself, we do not love anybody else until I love myself. You know, the extent of love I can hold for you is very related to how much I love myself. And loving myself for me has been about discovering God's love for me. So we begin with loving ourselves, and then I would think of a person, imagine a person who's been good to me in my life. May they be filled, may she be filled, may he be filled with loving kindness. And then somebody who I'm fond of, may they be filled with loving kindness, may she be filled with loving kindness. And then somebody I don't like so much, somebody I'm uncomfortable with, may she be filled with loving kindness. And each time you stay with it for a few minutes, allowing your heart to soften, and then may all beings everywhere be filled with loving kindness. May all beings everywhere know that they are loved by God. And you repeat it again and again. May all beings everywhere know that they are loved by God. May all beings be safe, be well, and be at peace. Imagine with me if we at St. Catherine's, each of us held that prayer, that we knew we were loved, and that from that core of knowing that we're loved, we loved others. Imagine the light that would shine even more brightly out through this place. The difficulties that be resolved, that we'd listen and value to each other. Love one another as I have loved you. I know that God is everywhere and God is within me. May you grow in the awareness that you're loved by God. May you grow in the awareness that all human beings are loved by God. And may we all live God's love into the world today, for his glory, for his healing glory. Amen.